Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive.
It's T-Mac with Nate Jackson. Okay. You're winning. Yeah. But you do lose, but you got a winning record. How does it go over when Jay Cutler's put in ahead of Jay Plummer?
Some confusion. A little context, we lost the AFC Championship the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
We were 7-3 going into a game against Kansas City, in Kansas City. I think it was like a Thanksgiving or some weird Thursday night or something like that game. Mm-hmm. And the whispers were that if we lose this game, mm-hmm. Jay's coming in and Jake's getting benched.
Doesn't that blow you away when like media people like
yeah.
know this and you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, so going into
But they did know it.
That was the thing.
Yeah.
And we lost that game to put us at 7-4. And we go into the locker room after the game. And I'll never forget this. So after a game, the media goes to the starting quarterback's locker to see what he's going to say about the game, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Well, every single media member went straight to Jay's locker.
Wow.
And that's when it was just, that hurt me to see that. To see what I saw as the media turning on Jake, essentially, and saying, all right, you're done.
Next
man up, after Jake had, you know, been through what he'd been through and, of course, sacrificed everything he had for the team because he loved his team. He loved his city. So we all saw that with a bit of confusion because he did indeed get benched after that, and Jay took over. We missed the playoffs after that season.
Yep.
And but, you know, players don't really – we don't have a say. We don't really get around and think, what can we do to change this or anything like that. There were instances during those years when we had Champ Bailey around, we had John Lynch around, mm-hmm. Al Wilson, those guys who were established veterans. They could go upstairs and talk about issues that were –
some sort of leadership council or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe they went up and talked about that, but probably not because, you know, we trust our coaches to make these decisions.
Well, let me ask you this. As a player in that situation – do you understand that a first-round quarterback has to play, or is it like, no, man, it's the best player's going to play and something like that?
Yeah, I think for players, we want the best player playing.
Period.
Yes, because
and you know who it is.
Yes, because it's obvious every day at practice. Now, quarterbacks are a little harder to judge because it's only one guy under center at a time type of thing.
All right, so let me ask you this. Were there times that year where Jay Cutler was practicing better than Jake Plummer?
No, not that I can recall. Simply because those backups don't get the same opportunities.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's not.
Well, of course I know what you mean.
Yeah, he's not getting the reps.
That was my point.
So it was the unknown. It was just let's see if this guy can do it.
So how do you ever know if the guy's really developing?
Well, you don't know, until you throw him out there, I guess.
Right.
And so Mike felt the pressure to win another Super Bowl, as every coach does, but especially Mike. He won two. He wanted to get back, and we were so close the year before. And so he wanted to make a spark. It didn't work.
Was there anybody on the team that was saying throughout the course of the year, man, whatever, Cutler's coming in. He's a first-round guy.
No. No.
But that is actually what happens.
Yeah. And that shows you the disconnect between the logic inside the locker room versus the logic outside.
So meanwhile, outside here in the media, just in the real world.
Jay. He throws so hard.
We're all sitting here like, when is he going in?
Yeah.
He's gonna play. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
And even after a win, it was like, but we would have won by more, maybe, if Jay would have been in there. I mean, the win was great and all, but.
So when Kevin Hogan, he came on with us, and he said one of the things they've used at Stanford is virtual reality. Now, I have for years been asking Broncos coaches for the past 5 years, basically, are you going to invest in virtual reality? Now, here's what I know. Before there was an iPhone 10. I don't have an iPhone 10, but I just thought I'd hold this up and pretended I had a 10. It's a 7S. I'm going blind. But before there was an iPhone 10, right? There was an iPhone 1, iPhone 2, iPhone 3, iPhone 4, right?
Yep.
Meaning, I get it that virtual reality training, Nate, isn't probably perfect. But don't you got to start somewhere in this process if one of the things we're talking about is developing quarterbacks? Or, you know what? Forget it. Don't worry about quarterbacks, period, aside from guys who are, you know, already established. So I got to laugh when I see this Zach Bye-named quarterback mist going on with the Broncos bringing in four guys. I'm laughing at that. This is clearly when they were at five last year in a pretty quarterback deep class. And you would have only had to move up just a little bit to make sure you got Sam Darnold if you really love Sam Darnold. They sat there and they drafted Bradley Chubb. Who's a good player? There's like nine pass rushers in this draft. But he might have been the best one last year. He could have been. Not looking to dismiss him. But if you weren't willing to draft a quarterback last year, Nate, why in the world would you ever want to draft a quarterback this time around in the first round? And why in the world would you frankly want to draft a quarterback at all? I am just stunned and don't know how to explain how I find it so impossible that these guys ever develop.
Well, can't you adjust your approach as you go and say, hey, this didn't work, let's try it this time? I mean, they made a mistake last year with Case Keenum, and it didn't work out, but they thought it was going to.
Did they? They offered him a two-year deal.
All right. Well, they thought he was going to be a serviceable starter for the year or two, right?
I don't know. I think it was complicated. I think there was an idea that they could bring back Mike Shanahan, but Joe Ellis didn't see it that way, and John didn't really get his way. And I think if they could have brought back Shanahan...
In what capacity?
Head coach.
Oh, really?
And because if you were to do that, your odds of securing Kirk Cousins probably went through the roof.
Yeah.
And when that kind of all just fell apart, and Minnesota was willing to throw out like $90 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins, and the Broncos were not willing to guarantee all that money.
Right.
All of a sudden, the narrative changes to the Broncos saying, we weren't all that interested in Cousins in the first place.
Yeah.
Who's next? And even if Case Keenum was next on that list, the spot from like Kirk Cousins, if he's number one, which he was, down to Case Keenum might not be just one step. It might be freaking 100 steps. So are they really into Case Keenum? I don't think so. Not really. And were they paying him like they were into him? I always say follow the money on this stuff.
Yep.
$18 million's a lot. But not when it comes to starting quarterbacks.
Maybe they just really like Bradley Chubb.
They didn't even talk to him. They had mock drafts.
Smoke screens, man. Smoke screens.
You don't need to smoke screen when you're at five. You get 30 visits, dude. You can talk to everybody. You're at five. You got to smoke screen when you're at 10. And you have teams behind you that you think might want quarterbacks. And if you want to be ripping on the White and Bush a little bit to smoke screen that up, I sort of get that. I think it's fun. I think that's great. But the Broncos just got caught with their pants down, basically, last year. And now we had to redo. Look what happened. New quarterback. New coaches all over the place. I mean, frankly, if John Elway wasn't John Elway and he's just the GM, does he keep his job?
He's John Elway. And there was a Super Bowl victory here relatively recently, which is pretty rare. 32 teams, one Lombardi trophy.
How many years does that give you?
Should give you 32.
32 years?
No, I'm just kidding. But the odds are, if there's parity across the league, which there is,
mm-hmm.
salary caps identical, all that stuff, the chances are you'll win it one out of every 32 years. And if you do more than that, then you're beating the odds.
I got to think about that for a second.
And if you win more than one out of every 32, you're beating the odds. And so the Broncos have three in the last, 20, which means that's pretty darn good.
Wow. So Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Yeah.
Don't have to be held accountable for what you're doing in
the
present.
No. But let's keep it in perspective, because not every team can win a Super Bowl every year.
Okay, fair enough. And by the way, I do think the Broncos had a pretty good offseason based on where they were at the end of last year. And it's tricky to go and say, hey, you should have, could have, would have, when you go back years and years and years. You got to live in the now, and I understand that. So I'm happy to say the moves of John Elway and the folks over at Dove Valley in this particular offseason seem pretty good. But this first-round pick, Nate, I'm telling you, man,
it's not going to make or break the team, though. I know
if it's a quarterback, it could. If it's a quarterback, it could, actually.
So you think that would be the biggest mistake ever, to take a quarterback at 10?
Yeah. This year. Last year, no. Last year, it would have made perfect sense. Because it was so clear that Case Keenum was just a bridge. Last year, to me, well, I call it the Glennon Trubisky doctrine, which means that you should, if you identify a quarterback you want, you should move up. And it doesn't matter how much you pay a veteran. So you can pay a veteran $18 million a year if you draft a quarterback high in the first round, because there's a quarterback budget. And as long as you're within that quarterback budget and there's a plan of succession, you know, it's going to be the veteran going to this guy and it all makes sense. But that's really the way to operate until you find your quarterback. So in the Bears case that I'm talking about, you know it's Trubisky, so you don't have to think about a quarterback for the next dozen years. Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's essentially where you want to be. Kansas City doesn't have to worry about a quarterback for the next, I don't know, how long is Patrick Mahomes going to play for?
12.
When was the 15. Last time the Chargers, maybe before this year, maybe they're starting to think about it, but the Chargers, when was the last time they were thinking about a quarterback?
It's been a while.
How seriously were the Broncos really thinking about a quarterback when Elway was here? You know, the Bills with Jim Kelly, Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, the Patriots with Tom Brady, even though they did draft a couple of quarterbacks throughout the years. They didn't draft him in the first round. Nate, until you have that guy, though, man, I tell you what, I think you should be going after him as high as humanly possible year after year after year.
But not this year.
It's just not what the Broncos do. They got Joe Flacco. I told you, this ownership thing, man, it's a three-year deal. 2021, they've got the new CBA coming around. John Elway's contract is going to be done. He'll be in his mid-60s at that point. Joe Ellis would be in his late 60s. Is John Elway really signing up for another five-year run in his mid-60s to, you know, be the general manager or president or whatever he is? I mean, is he really doing that? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, let me ask you, would you rather win a Super Bowl in 3 years or would you rather win it next year?
Next year. Well, hold on. That's a tricky question. I'd rather have a chance to win a Super Bowl for the next 12 years and no chance to win it if the cost is not possibly winning it for the next 2 years, but I'm going to have a shot for the next 12 years. I'd rather do that. This year, the way we are operating now, it's this year. Like, if you don't make the playoffs this year, it's a failure.
For every team, every year, that's the case.
I don't think so. You think it was a failure for the Raiders to not make the playoffs last year?
I think John Gruden felt like he failed, probably.
What?
He hates to lose. They sucked.
Dude, 10-year contract, $100 million. We're moving to Vegas. Who cares? We're trading Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack.
It doesn't make it easy to swallow the losses and deal with that and have to turn on the TV and see your team getting beat like that.
Boo-hoo. And get over it.
But that's the competitive nature of these people in this industry. They want to win every single play, every single game. You can't say, well, in 3 years, we're going to be good, man, so just hang in.
Buffalo Bills, you mentioned the Music City Miracle earlier.
That's right.
Bills did go to the playoffs, not last year, but the year before. 17 years between the playoffs for the Buffalo Bills.
That's why no one wants to play there.
Yeah. No quarterbacks. J.P. Lossman.
That's right.
And a collection of Kyle Orton, Tyrod Taylor, Fitzmagic. Who else? I mean, what other trail of tears of Bills quarterbacks?
Well, they got a guy now.
I think so, too. You know, I was in Buffalo for 5.5 years. Six. I always forget how long I've been there. Too long. Trust me.
You left too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I wasn't playing with Jim Kelly.
Right.
But let me tell you, when I got to Buffalo, the year I got to Buffalo, it was the Bills' last time of the four that they lost that they went to the Super Bowl. So I get to Buffalo, and the Bills are the Bills still. And I'm telling you, it was awesome. Nobody minded being in Buffalo then. I mean, it was freaking awesome. The town loved them. The team was winning. It just was all-encompassing. I mean, I thought Buffalo was awesome. I loved Buffalo when I first got there. Loved it. They went to the Super Bowl. Jim Kelly was awesome to be around. Incredible leader. It was freaking fun. We had kind of the times of our lives. But, you know, eventually Jim retired. And they brought in Todd Collins, who's played like 15 years and started like two games. You know, that's an amazing career right there. I sign up for that anytime.
It's the best gig in sports, backup quarterback.
Tell you what, you keep that going as long as you can. But, Nate, it was brutal after Jim left. Like, then you looked around. Then you were like, oh, yeah. You know, we live in Buffalo.
Like, so Jim Kelly obscured the fact that you were living in Buffalo.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a powerful man right there.
It was pretty cool.
And that's what franchise quarterbacks can do.
Because it's not just Jim Kelly who's there.
Right.
It's Thurman Thomas. It's Andre Reed. It's Cornelius Bennett. It's Bruce Smith. It's Ken Hull, incredible center. It's like one guy after another. Steve Tasker, Don Beebe. I mean, it was just awesome.
Yeah.
These guys. And all of a sudden, you felt like, this is great. And screw everybody else. They don't understand. And then he leaves, and everybody else isn't interested in playing for the Bills. And then you realize, this sucks. I don't care if the Buffalo Wing was invented here. I've been to the Anchor Bar 15 times. It's no big deal. I've been on the Maid of the Mist a dozen times. I get it. This is Niagara Falls. I've been there. And then I'm like, why am I here? I couldn't wait to get out. And I'm going to guess that's the same with a lot of guys. Unless you're just barely hanging on anyways. You would have played at Buffalo.
Oh, I would have.
You would have loved it.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. I mean, it's not the sexy place to go for free agents.
That's right. That's why they got to overpay. That's why they're paying Cole Beasley like gajillions of dollars when, you know, he's getting ridiculously overpaid. It's what happens.
You know Cole Beasley has a rap album out?
I did not know that. How is it?
He's a rapper. He's all right. He's all right.
Well, they love rap music in Buffalo.
That's right.
Story out today. Peyton Manning, according to Jim Irsay, was close to taking a front office job.
There you go, Peyton.
There was definitely some interest on both sides, said Irsay. The talks eventually got quote-unquote serious, but Manning indicated he wasn't ready to return to the daily grind of the sport so soon. I'm just not ready yet, Irsay recalled Manning saying. It's just not right now, and if I'm all in, I'm all in. You know, I'd like to spend more time with the family. He clearly expressed that to me, and I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, why rush back into it? I mean, I don't know. The guy's been around football his entire life.
It's interesting, though.
Step away from it a little bit, you know?
The next move, though.
Yeah, his next move. He can play anything he wants. He can do anything. But you got to want to do it.
Right.
You got to really want it.
Because
it's not going to happen on year one. You know, you got to see it through the long haul. Start from scratch.
I was thinking today, you know, I'm almost on the back end of this with the kids. Like, oldest is at college. Youngest son has his driver's license, junior in high school. So they got all these open periods, you know, in school. High school's like, I don't know, how are things in California?
We could not leave campus.
Okay. No. Things have changed.
You could, but it was not. It was against the law or against the rules, you know. You weren't supposed to.
Yeah, not anymore. Like, go for it. I think freshmen are supposed to stay on campus, but at least at Smoky Hill where my kid goes, if you're a sophomore or whatever, it's just, if you don't have to be here, you don't have to be here.
So why would they not have to be there? Like, they get
open periods. Yeah, and classes are an hour and a half every other day, kind of like college is, rather than like 50 minutes a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, the schedule kind of rotates around. So every other day, it's like math, weightlifting, lunch, open period business or whatever it is.
So really only two classes a day.
Yeah. On like green days, we're red and green, good old Smoky Hill.
Wow.
Red days are like, you know, class, 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 and the final period's open. So you're still taking like six classes. It's just like one of them's weightlifting. And you know, my son doesn't have the most arduous academic schedule there, Nate. That's another conversation.
Yeah.
but I'm sitting there with him, and he comes over the house. Like, before I come in here to work, he comes over. It's like six kids all coming into the kitchen.
During school day?
Yeah. I mean, it's like...
hey, Dad.
What?
What do we got to eat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
You're like, why are you here?
Well, right, but I know why. You know, I'm used to it. And they're all, you know, talking about the prom. Like, we got to get the prom thing together. And
you got to get dates?
More and more kids are just going as friends and going as a group. And let me tell you, I am all for that. I think that is the way to go. I think it's more fun, less pressure. Yep. Just it's a great idea. And you know, whatever happens, happens, I suppose, at the end of the night. At least that's the way my son's approaching it.
Right.
Like, he's not hung up about asking a girl at all.
And that's a lot of pressure for a kid. And you got to think of, like, you know, clever ways to, well, some people try to do that.
Dude, we went through the whole problem last year, the promposal and all that crap. Nightmare. For 3 years in a row, because I have an older son that went through this, 3 years in a row, there have been three different girls who have been going with one of my sons to a prom who have broken up with both of my sons 3 days or less after the prom's over.
Oh, man.
Right. Like, I wouldn't even take a prom picture, never mind save one.
Wow.
It's a low priority. But my point is, I'm kind of almost out the door. Like, they're sitting there talking about... He's going to drive. They're going to save money and not get a limo. That he's going to drive.
Nice.
Right. I barely see the kids anymore. So I got to figure out other things like in my life. Peyton Manning? The whole want to spend time with the family thing.
You don't buy it.
No.
You don't buy it. How old are his kids?
Like, he's got twins. He's got a boy and a girl. They're twins. I think they're in first, second grade, something like that.
Well, maybe he's conflicted and doesn't really know why he's not ready yet, and it's a convenient kind of excuse or whatever to say, hey, look, not quite ready. I want to spend time with the family.
I'm not buying it.
So you think he has another idea? He's going to do something else? Or he just didn't want the gig?
I don't think he wanted the gig.
That makes sense.
I think he likes living here in Denver.
Look, Jim Irsay is not the most stable character either.
I think the Broncos will either be passed down to a Bolin kid, Brittany, or be sold
to Peyton.
Possibly.
That'd be a cool deal.
Guess who else might be interested in owning the Broncos?
Who?
John Elway.
Huh. How is their relationship?
That's a good question. I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton has spent more time over at the Broncos facility lately. When he first retired, he wasn't seen over there. He was seen over at training camp. It was funny, like, he brought his kids last year as if his kids really cared about training camp. They were bored so quickly, it was ridiculous.
Just on their phones.
Yeah, kind of.
Basically.
I mean, he was like, oh, no, my kids were just dying to see training camp. You can see when kids are bored. They just start jumping up and down on you. You know, they're not really interested. He was clearly there because he's interested in this process.
Mm-hmm. But it's in his blood.
There's a rule. You can't be part of an NFL team and be part of a group to buy an NFL team.
Huh.
Did you know that one?
So what does it mean to be part of an NFL team?
Be an employee.
Okay.
You know, have a employment sort of thing.
Interesting.
Right. So if you want to buy an NFL team, you can't be working for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be the president of football or whatever, or a GM, if you want to be part of an ownership group. Peyton did try to partner up with a billionaire to buy the Panthers. Didn't work out. They went to Tepper, and they went to another billionaire. John Elway was offered a slice of the Broncos years ago that went to court to throw that out by Edgar Kaiser, the previous owner, to Pat Bowlen, who had right of first refusal of ownership. And Pat Bowlen tried to pull a fast one and cut off John a slice of ownership. And Kaiser was like, whoa, 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 you can't do that, and went to court to stop it.
Wow. so much stuff goes on behind the scenes that us players never really see.
Don't
even know about.
But think about this for a second. If Peyton's happy here in Denver, his kids are in school, and he's thinking about things, and he's not tied down to a team, it puts him in a spot to be part of an ownership group and own a slice of a team.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do an ESPN feature where he travels around to 30 different places, Peyton's places, to talk about the history of football.
Wow.
What do you think he's going to be doing on those trips?
Kicking the tires? So is he going to NFL cities?
Yeah, the history of the game.
Yeah.
It'll take him all over the country.
Yeah. He's doing some research.
This dude is something else. Yeah. This dude is a trip.
Smart guy.
John Elway, if he wants to buy the Broncos or be part of that, he's got to step down from that position.
Well.
See what's going on? It's absurdly fascinating. And so if you want to see why the Broncos want to win right now, like you want them to, because it's more exciting, right?
Oh, yeah.
You want to win right now.
Yeah. Right now.
It's because you have something else you want to do. So you're not developing quarterbacks. You're not bringing it's such a smokescreen, it's ridiculous. It's the most preposterous smokescreen of all time, bringing these four quarterbacks in for a visit, or Thorson or whoever.
Well, not everyone is privy to the information about the team that you are.
Yeah, they are.
No.
Yes, they are. You got to pay attention.
Yeah, but no one pays attention as much as you, D-Mac.
This is The Drive on the Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Back with Nate Jackson. We were talking about the stupid locker room. Oh my God. The locker room with media. It's the worst. Hey, you were always pretty good with the media, but I don't know.
Well, they're around with cameras while we're naked.
Dude.
We were just talking. Why, give us another room.
Tell me about it.
I mean, what other
please.
What other companies employers allow the media to come in and start filming you and asking you questions about the company while you're naked? Doesn't make any sense.
Was there ever like a preposterous, like a ridiculous time? Stop.
Well, yeah, like, you know, I have to take a shower, right? So I'm standing here and a particular member of the media was talking to me and wouldn't leave me alone. And so I eventually had to say, I am sorry. But I have to get naked now, and I had to disrobe and go to the shower.
Did you really say that?
No, I just pulled my pants down. In a very respectful way, but I had to. This was my changing room. I had to end this conversation as politely as I could. But then you'd also get the instances where Rod Smith's locker was right next to mine.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
And so his locker is getting swarmed by media.
Spill over.
And I'm trying to change here. And no one's paying attention to me and my needs. But it is a pretty awkward scene in there. You know, you get certain media members who stand at certain angles to the shower.
Oh, my Lord.
We know who those are.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
So there's a lot of awkwardness there. And, you know, when you pull the lens back and think about it.
Hold on. And I'm not going to name any names here or ask. But you would peer out the shower and you could see a member of the media like looking in.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like there's literally zero reason for that.
Yeah. You know the Broncos locker room. This is a line of sight right there.
I know. That's why I just try to avoid that area as much as humanly possible.
Well, some don't avoid it.
Oh my God.
Some are gravitated towards it. But is this one of those things as a player, you just don't really second guess it. You don't think about it. It's just kind of part of it.
The concept is like access, and you have to have equal access. And the access time, now I think it's ridiculous. Like 45 minutes 3 days a week, which is to me like way more than enough time.
Yeah.
Actually, even on Monday, so I guess it's 4 days a week. Tuesday is an off day. And then there's games. And they have you have access after the games too.
Yeah.
Now the games I could kind of understand. The games I can sort of understand because if the media can't go into the locker room after the game, Well, I mean, they got to do their job. So you probably, I'm guessing you feel somewhat the same, like, okay, it's not great after a game, but whatever.
Yeah, because the game's pretty chaotic and the media's got to go and run around and interview different people. They're not all going to be coming into that one room to the
right.
podium. But the everyday stuff at the facility was weird. And you get guys who don't want to talk to them, so they just hang out in the training room for that 45 minutes until they leave, and then they go back in the locker room.
Stupid.
Yeah, so they're avoiding each other and...
Dumb. Make it easy on everybody. During the week, have a separate room. You got a $50 million facility. There's got to be some other place to go.
Got to be.
And if you're requested, as long as it's reasonable, you got to go there and talk to that guy or the group or whatever during a certain period of time. So you can't hide out either.
Yeah.
Done.
Maybe they'll address that in the CBA.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
I saw something amazing. Something awesome. And it's Fran Belibe. Fran Belibe.
Crossing it over to let everyone know she's jumping off her right foot, dunking it left-handed.
I saw that.
They want it off the backboard. Yes, you can, Fran! All tens.
That gave me chills watching that yesterday.
It's amazing.
What'd you love about it? Fran Belibe's the player from Regis who can dunk pretty easily and was at a McDonald's All-American dunk contest against guys and won. Candace Parker won it like in 2004 or something. She's the second girl, woman to win the slam dunk contest.
It just shows you the evolution of the athlete, of the American athlete. We're getting bigger, we're getting faster, we're getting stronger. And in 2004, when that woman won it, she dunked it. But yesterday or whenever that happened, this girl was doing complex dunks, jumping over people sitting down in chairs, going off the backboard. And it just shows that people are getting bigger, faster, stronger, and ladies are doing the same thing. And it's pretty cool to watch that happen.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And it was like so much
fun. She's so happy and everyone's so happy. That's what sports can do.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, to me, when I was watching that, I'm like, this, even though I guess it was commercialized because it was like kind of on ESPN and McDonald's and the whole thing, but essentially what I saw was a bunch of kids who were really excited for another kid who could do something really, really cool and athletic, and there wasn't any kind of, at least it doesn't seem on the surface, some sort of crazy corruption or something else behind it, aside from just really being excited.
Yeah. And in basketball, the dunk is like the most celebrated play, pretty much. And for so long, it was women couldn't really participate in that play.
Right.
But that's going to change.
It's going to change.
It is changing. And instances like that show it.
By the way, Fran is just an amazing young lady. She reluctantly even got into basketball. Her parents are doctors. She wants to study medicine at Stanford, where she's going to go. And you know, if the WNBA happens for her, maybe that's something she'll do. But she's not going to college, to Stanford, to pursue or think that she wants to be some sort of professional athlete.
Hmm.
She really just wants to go to Stanford to be a doctor, and she has fun playing sports.
That's cool. I think that's a great model, because athletes need to learn other things and not put all their eggs in that professional sports basket. Because maybe it does work out for her to play pro, but then she'll still be a doctor after that. She'll have the training.
She has a plan.
Yeah, she has a plan. And we need to encourage these young athletes to have a plan like that.
Right.
To pursue these other interests. To be well-rounded. To use their brains.
Tough moment for Todd Helton, and details coming up.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's D-Mac with Nate Jackson. Let's go to Larry. Hey, Larry, you're on The Fan. What's happening, pal?
Hello.
Yo, what's up, Larry?
Larry.
You got me?
Yep, gotcha.
All right, cool. But man, I love you like a brother, but a while ago you were throwing cold water on the Case Keenum signing, you know, what they were doing. I'm not sure what they were doing. You're the guy that showed up in the middle of the night to do a six-hour show when they signed Case
Keenum. I know, because he was supposed to be, it was a two-part deal, dude. Larry, it was supposed to be a two, it's the Trubisky Glennon Doctrine is part one, and then part two. It's Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. It was supposed to be Case Keenum and Sam Darnold or Josh Allen or Josh Rosen. Nate, it was supposed to be both those things.
There's no way you do a six-hour impromptu middle-of-the-night show for the less important part of your two-part plan.
Of course you do, Larry. Of course you're excited about the progress. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you calling. When Case Keenum was signed, it happened when the news about it came out, Nate, it was late. It was like after like 11 o'clock at night. So I called up our program director at the time, and there's Kevin Kistner, my man. He was with me the whole time. And I said, this is big. I said, let's do it. Let's talk about it. Let's go on the air. Let's, you know, because we didn't have anybody on, like, you know, at midnight. So I came in here, and I had a blast. I had fun.
6 hours?
6 hours.
That's a long show.
Yeah, it was cool. It didn't feel, Kevin, was it, felt like it went pretty quick, right? Yeah. I took calls.
Pretty quick.
People were into it. There were a lot of delivery guys.
There was...
People brought us food.
Wait,
down
so there were people up calling and
dude,
talking about
nonstop.
This? Three in the morning? Four in the morning?
Yep.
Oh, my. Wow. That's a lot of optimism then. You believed it could have been done.
I believed it was part of the puzzle.
Right.
I believed it was step one.
Were you saying that at the time?
Yes. Because free agency happens before the draft. It was like, this is great. Now we're going to pick our quarterback for the 15 years. And it was gonna be awesome.
But it wasn't.
No, it was terrible. Case Keenum was below average. Because I didn't believe in Paxton Lynch. But it's tough to throw away first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
That's why you don't... I heard guys earlier today say, if the Broncos, Cecil and Pritch, if the Broncos draft a quarterback in the 20s, D-Mac's head is going to explode. And they are correct. The Bermuda Triangle, the J.P. Lossman, your pal, the J.P. Lossman, Tim Tebow, Brandon Whedon, Johnny Manziel. I know, Marino and Rodgers. That's it.
That's 2 out of 11, though, right?
Dude, I can keep going. It's 2 out of, like, however many, like 25, 26, whatever it is.
Mm.
It's a nightmare. So I'm not like that this year. Trust me, though. Can you imagine? Watch. The Broncos will draft. Like, Dwayne Haskins will fall, and they'll draft Dwayne Haskins.
At 10?
What would you think if the Broncos did draft a quarterback at 10?
I wouldn't. I think it'd be all right.
Okay. Then what?
Well, then he waits until Joe Flacco messes up. And then he gets his start. It's going to be a
How long is that going to be?
Well, it's going to be a similar situation to the Jay Cutler, Jake Plummer situation. Until the fever pitch gets to...
He's going to have to play.
Yeah, unless, you know, the Broncos are winning and there's no reason to bench him. But if there's a little bit of a losing streak, 2 in a row, 3 in a row, you'll get the scratching.
So Joe Flacco's going to sit there. This is what you're going to do to Joe Flacco.
This happened to Joe Flacco last year.
So this is what you're going to do to Joe Flacco. You're going to put him through that hell again.
No, I wouldn't do it. I'm saying if it happens, it's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean the Broncos are going to, you know, lose. It doesn't mean they're going to have a bad season. It doesn't mean it's going to fail. There is no blueprint to doing this. You got to kind of trust your instinct here. And there's exceptions to every single rule, as you know.
Yep.
And so... There comes a point where you got to make a decision and then just go with it. And then you're going to have 53 guys. And once you get those 53 guys, you believe in them. You tell them every day that they can do it. And you instill that in them. And that's how you build a championship team. Not by picking the right guy at the right spot on the right. It's not all about that. You got to get the guys in and then you got to build a team.
Do you believe Lamar Jackson's a better quarterback than Joe Flacco?
No.
Then why did they do it?
Because they wanted to change their style. You know, he's a totally different kind of a quarterback. And you're seeing a lot of the young quarterbacks having different skill sets than the Joe Flacco.
Do you think Lamar Jackson's part of their plan for the future?
Oh, yeah.
Long term.
Seems like it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because you don't draft a quarterback high or play him unless he's going to be part of your long-term future.
Right. But you don't know until you play him.
So go ahead, Broncos. Make me laugh. If this isn't a smokescreen, and I have been wrong before, so wrong. So, but I, Nate, will laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And I'll just say, okay, you did it. You drafted Drew Lock.
Good player.
Hey, start playing him. or at some point.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't draft a guy in the first round to train for 3 years. Because his contract will be over. And then you'll have to offer him a fifth-year extension. And now what?
Win now.
All right, my man. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, D-Mac.
Richie. Kevin. Happy birthday to my boys. A lot of people have birthdays today. Happy birthday out there to my fellas. Drive Reloaded. It's coming up next right here on The Fan.